Good morning. Mark has told us that Jesus was powerful in word and work. He spent the most of chapter 4 on the former, in one of only two sermons that he quotes at any length. He has Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God in parables, as we heard last week. Now, here at the very end of chapter 4 and all through chapter 5, we see the other side of that. Jesus at work. In a long series of miracle stories, Mark shows us the power of God at work in Christ for our salvation. And this story is put first on that list because it would have a special resonance and significance with the audience. We knew for sure that it was God and God alone who created the heavens and the earth and divided the land from the sea. It was God who drew that line. We learned that from Genesis. We learned it from Job in today's first reading. Basic situation of that one is that Job has been saying at considerable length, "Lord, why do you run the world this way?" And finally God answers and says, "So who are you to ask?" And when he gets to stating that question, he states it very quickly in terms of the sea. "Where were you when I divided the land from the sea? Can you tell me why or how I set up that line and said your mighty waves may advance thus far and no further? Can you explain that to me, Job?" Job, of course, says, "Never mind." But it reinforces once again that God and God alone has power over the vastness and the might of the sea. And then the Psalm 107, reinforcing the same theme. People cannot stand against the sea. It has power greater than the mightiest ships we make today, much less the little things they called ships in those days. Mostly we think of them today as boats. You know the difference between a ship and a boat? If it doesn't have a boat, it is one. Well, those little boats had very little chance against the sea, and they knew it. Only God's power could prevail. And here is Jesus exercising what is clearly a divine power and delivering a salvation that only God could deliver, and doing it fairly peremptorily. "Quiet, be still." This is a revelation. The apostles sort of get it. They are filled with great awe, and they say to one another, "Who is this whom even wind and sea obey?" They don't get all the way there. They're sort of blockheaded. Then all the way through Mark, they're sort of blockheaded. There are two themes that run through Mark. One is Jesus and the other is the disciples. And it's almost like theme and counter theme. The more plain Jesus makes things, the less they understand. The more he reveals to them, the less they comprehend it. And we'll see that all the way through. But at least it raises the question for them. Who is this whom even wind and sea obey? Is there only one person whom wind and sea obey? What's going on here? They're being taught just as clearly as they were being taught in the parables about Jesus, about God, about the kingdom, about God's saving power, about God's persistent love. The same, of course, is true for us. Like the disciples, you know, I'll speak for myself, I tend to blockheadedness more than occasionally. I don't often recognize what God is doing in our midst. I'm easy to panic like the fraidy cat disciples. Things go wrong, the boat begins to fill with water, and I start to lose my cool and cry out. But all I really have to do is remember that Jesus has in himself the power of God, the saving power of God, the persistent, merciful love of God. So no matter how bad the storms seem, and there are storms in your life and mine, storms in our families and in our church and in our world that frequently seem to be filling our little boat with more water than we can bail, Jesus is still there. He may be asleep in the stern, but he is not inactive. He has not gone away. He will always be with us, and he will always manifest for us the saving power, the persistent love, the absolute self-outpouring of our God. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.